His name is Bruce, and his name is Johnny. Together, they are
The Weekend Riot.
And this is No Filter.
Howdy, 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 y'all.
Howdy, y'all. We're coming to you from the Deep South.
No, we're not.
Southern California.
Tune in next week.
Hello.
So my name is Bruce.
My name is Johnny.
We are
The Weekend. Oh,
the band The Weekend Riot.
Yes.
Not to be confused with The Weekend.
No, we get confused with him a lot, and it's totally fine.
Because it's great promo for us.
Yes,
so many radio stations will be like, now playing Can't Feel My Face by At The Weekend Riot. And we're like, yes, sir, we are.
Yeah.
We retweet that.
It's a great time.
But no, we're from Philadelphia, but we're broadcasting this from North Hollywood, California.
Ayo.
This is actually, we're lying to you again. We've been doing a lot of traveling, so this is technically not Thursday. Right now, we are playing a show at
Amplify.
Oh, we're going to be playing a show
soon.
In like a few minutes at Amplify, which is going to be the biggest show of our lives, actually.
Yes. So if you're in the area, run over right now. You can still get there.
Yeah, you can still get there. Hurry up.
Yes. So we're recording this on Tuesday.
Oh, no. If you're on the West Coast and you're hearing this, come to Amplify. It's free.
Oh, yeah,
it's off Melrose. It's right near Paramount. We go on at 8 p.m. sharp.
Yeah, you have a couple hours to get there.
Yeah. You got a couple hours. We didn't have time, though, to be able to get there to the venue with traffic and getting all our gear together and yada, yada, yada.
You know, loading and all that stuff.
And people and things.
And people and Vaseline and all that
stuff. And excuses and life. So, so we've been playing some shows. We've been traveling around.
Yes, we have.
Weeks ago, we did some shows in Texas.
Yes.
Last week, we played in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yes. It was a beautiful show. Thank you for everyone who came out and made it so awesome. We played at Cab Calloway
School of the Arts. For Cab Fest.
For Cab Fest. It was dope. We played in this like awesome auditorium, and we played a bunch of new songs that kind of... It's weird because the show at Amplify, we're playing literally like all new songs.
Yeah,
one
full
old
band,
one.
Too.
Yeah, so we tried out a bunch at Cab Fest to like kind of just test the waters a little bit, and it went awesome.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
Amazing.
So thank you guys so much for coming out and making it dope.
Yeah, so we did two sets there. So it's a middle school and high school combined. It's like an art school, so everybody's going for like music industry stuff. So it's really cool to see that, like a school that like really supports the arts like that. And I like wish I had that in high school because
same.
Like. There was like, I think there was like one recording class, but I didn't even know how to get into that. And like, this is like, this whole school is like based on like, you do an instrument or you do some sort of art and like, you pursue that as like a career. And I think that's like super amazing. So this whole show is going to be basically about that
yes.
and pursuing that. And I know we're going to be tweeting out and asking some questions later on.
Mm-hmm.
But so we got to play earlier on. We did It was a nooner.
Mm-hmm, as they call it in the biz.
Yeah, an early set. And we did two songs. And we did So Serious, which is a new song of ours. And then we did Ride by 21 Pilots.
Yes.
And we didn't know, like, we were talking right before, should we do a cover? And Johnny's like, I think we should do Ride. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's probably a good idea. Let's just see. So we did Ride, and it popped off.
It did.
They were going nuts. Like, they knew every single word. Everybody, like... Huge, like everybody loves 21 Pilots.
As
I love it. That makes me so happy.
I know. And like as soon as you say like, oh, we're gonna play a 21 Pilots song, like just eruption from the crowd. And it's crazy thinking that like, you know, I remember that band getting signed like what 4 years ago. And that was like right when we kind of started incubating the Weekend Riot and like it started becoming a thing. And we saw this video that I think Fueled by Ramen posted it, and it was like, oh, we just signed 21 Pilots. And it was so weird to see them then, and we were like, oh, I wonder what this band's going to do.
I think my favorite part of that is, well, there's two things. There's one that we always joke about with that Josh goes, it wasn't always like this, and then there's like a huge crowd of people.
Yeah.
But then also on top of that, that the counter is going up. The likes are going up. Blah, 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 blah. It's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
You're expecting it to stop at like 100.
Yeah.
100,000.
100,000.
Not just 100.
And then it just stops at 9,000. It's like 9,163 or whatever it is. And it's like that's all it took to get the labels, like the industry's attention.
Yeah.
And like that is so inspiring, I think. And that's like one thing I really want to talk about during this like whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 21 Pilots is the perfect example of a band that did it grassroots DIY, deserved every single thing. They built it up themselves and literally deserve everything that's happening right now.
Oh, absolutely.
They just did Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing. I watched it. I watched it after the fact. You watched it live on a plane.
On a plane, on JetBlue. It was like, and I was tweeting about it live. Like, that was like the coolest thing. I was like, what is happening right now?
Do you want to know what I was watching while you were watching that? Because I forgot it was happening.
Yeah.
I was watching Hot Tub Time Machine.
We were next to each other, which is even more weird.
We were across the aisle.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a distance.
Yeah.
But Hot Tub Time Machine, not nearly as inspiring.
But that's, and I think too, especially as like a, like, we're a duo, and I think it was so inspiring to see, like, and just, like, Tyler has this, he's playing the piano at the one, you've seen it since.
Yes, yes, I have.
And at the end of Ride, and he's playing the piano, and he just, like, stops and, like, smiles, and, like, kind of, like, looks up. It's just, like, that moment of, like, he's, like, all right, we got through the song, like, I'm just going to take a breath. Like, you know, as a performer, like, you have that moment where you're, like, all right. Whew, I can like kind of relax now and like really take in the moment. And he just started smiling. And I was like, holy crap. That's, I so got cool. chills.
I love amazing. The part. I think it was in Ride 2 where, like, right before the last chorus, he addresses the crowd, which I think on SNL is kind of like almost a weird, like, ballsy move.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it can go one of two ways. I saw Arctic Monkeys do it. And the singer Alex Turner goes, "What's everybody doing?" That man just yawned and just, like, pointed at a dude in the crowd. And Tyler goes, like, "How are we doing, everybody? All right?" And just huge cheers. Ooh. Like, so cool.
Yeah.
It's just so great to see.
So that's 21 Pilots. What a great band they are.
Yes. Go listen to them.
We can talk.
If you've never heard
of them, they're a great band.
Yes. Yes, yes.
But then, yeah. So in Wilmington, we got to talk to the kids. Mm-hmm. So that was Chad from the House on Cliff. We played with the House on Cliff that night. They headlined the show. And it was the school that Chad went to. So I think that's a really cool thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
That Chad got to go back to the school and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And, like, get to, like, we got to do, like, a little panel and kids got to ask questions and things. And the day before that, we actually did a little panel as well.
At Morristown Friends School.
Yeah. With our vocal coach is Martha Lavender. It's her husband, Brian Howard. So Brian teaches a class. He's like, would you guys come in and talk to the kids? And that was amazing, too. And just to, like, hear and, like, you know, there's some cool kids doing some cool things.
Yeah, very different questions because at Morristown Friends School is a bit of an older class. So, like, you know, there some people were asking us about, like, production and, like, songwriting and stuff.
And, yeah.
And then at CAB, it was mostly younger kids. And I think they were like, oh, like, what do you guys listen to? And we were like, oh, okay, like, this is still cool. But,
I mean, there were still good questions in there. Like, there's some questions of, like, that I'm sure we'll get on Twitter too about, you know, like, just starting out and, like, how to do it, because it's a super vulnerable thing to just kind of put yourself out there. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So then when we were flying on the way to JetBlue to Wilmington, we had an Uber driver, and we always just spark up a conversation like, oh, like, who are you? Like, how long have you been here?
Yes.
And the guy's like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian. And we were like, what? And it was, like, literally the best ride of my life.
I know. That was the first time, I think, I took an Uber to LAX, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a 40-minute Uber, and it's going to be a great time. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude is awesome. So we started talking to him. He was a really funny dude. And funny, like, he it turns out he's now opening for this comedian whose name slips my mind, but we saw him. What's his name? Do you remember?
Brian
Hadden.
Mo, is it? I forget.
Something like that.
He's the dude from Hangover. He's like Fast Eddie from The Hangover. He marries them and whatever. He's also in Old School.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
He was in a bunch. Yeah, he's hilarious comedian.
Yeah. So he's opening for him now, and we actually went to go see that dude at the improv like a couple Hollywood. Months ago. So it was like a weird kind of like stars aligning kind of thing.
Yeah, we're like, what?
What? This is crazy.
We know exactly who we're talking about. But that was really cool. It was just funny. The whole ride was just like hilarious.
Yeah. And then actually, this was our first time ever flying JetBlue. Shout out JetBlue for, well, A, you know, delaying our flight, and then...
Oh, that was a two-hour delay.
Two-hour delay. And then putting us on another flight pretty easily, I will say.
Okay. I know I'm just saying, like, you didn't get to enjoy it, if you're saying what I'm thinking you're going to say.
No.
You slept through it.
I slept through everything.
They gave us free Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
How amazing is that? JetBlue slept through it.
I sleep through everything on flights. I'd rather sleep. I'm sorry.
Literally, I drank the Dunkin' Donuts free coffee. Amazing.
Ayo.
Got off the plane to get more Dunkin'. Then I purchased the Dunkin' Donuts coffee because I keep... I run on Dunkin'.
Yeah, support the troops, yeah. man.
Because I was tired from that walk from the plane to 30 feet out of it exactly. when there's another Dunk.
Do you think you're addicted to caffeine yet?
Yet?
Yet.
I've been addicted to caffeine since I was 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember you drinking coffee like when we first started hanging out.
All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I was Chick-fil-A too. Sweet tea.
I had to have a sweet tea every single day.
You're super into like green, like Arizona green tea.
Yeah, to have some sort of iced tea or green tea.
Weird.
And then the coffee got like worse and worse because I used to only do decaf, and then I got introduced to half calf.
Oh.
And because my stomach couldn't handle it, and then eventually I was just like, just do it. And then so I did that.
Also, shout out to JetBlue for losing my bag. JetBlue.
Yeah, whatever happened.
Well, they lost my bag, and they were like, oh, sorry, I didn't make it on the plane.
But that's what I don't understand.
We had a
4-hour layover in Boston. Like, they were, like, literally, like, Like, they just didn't. They're like, this is kind of big.
Do you think, you know.
My guitar made it. How did your bag not make it?
That 4-hour layover, they must have been like, you know, this bag's been here for a while. All these other bags are priority now.
Mm-hmm.
So just toss it out. We'll get them tomorrow. So
the guitar, send that through, though. Send that through.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So, but shout out JetBlue for bringing it the next day and driving it to my house. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
Hashtag ad. Hashtag JetBlue. Hashtag planes. And thank you for letting us fly with you.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, a great trip. I had a great time in Wilmington. It was dope.
No, yeah. It was amazing. And I'm excited for all the other shows coming up, too.
Yeah.
Because that was acoustic. We got to do that acoustic on the East Coast. We haven't done that in a while. The rest of the shows, the next four shows are full band, which I'm very excited about. So we're playing this Thursday, or right now, or in a few hours, if you're out in LA.
Come
free
hang.
Show at Amplify off Melrose, right near Paramount. We go on at 8 p.m. sharp, so yes. Be there before 8 p.m. Mike Schiavo is opening the show. He goes on at 7:30 sharp, so definitely come out, hang out. Free to everybody. We're going to be shooting music videos, so we're going to be filming the whole set and put together like a live music video for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's right now.
And then a week from now, October 20th, we're playing. No, wait, 2 weeks from now?
No,
that's a week, seven days. A week from now, October 20th, we're playing at a Revolution Bar and Music Hall in Amityville, New York.
All ages?
Yes, that's on Long Island. And we're playing with a bunch of awesome people. Sarah Barrios, called The Station. A lot of cool friends are coming out to that one.
Vista. And then on Friday in Howell, New Jersey, which is basically Freehold, we're playing Game Changer World with a bunch of amazing bands. Yeah. All three of these shows are full band as well. And then on Saturday, we're playing at Tocket Hall in Westport, Connecticut.
Yes, yes.
And that is also full band. That's going to be a good time. That's a fundraiser show too. So check out our Facebook for the link and all the info for that. I'm really excited.
Me too.
We're going to be playing some oldies.
Some oldies, some goodies.
Some newsies.
Some newsies.
Some covers.
The musical, the newsies. Yeah. We're playing some newsies.
All right. So what are we tweeting out? We gotta send a tweet. I want to know what the people are thinking right now.
All
right.
Basically, we're gonna tweet out, you know, we're recording our No Filter right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're giving advice on getting started in the music and / the industry. Tweet us any questions you have. And we threw in a cookie emoji just for good measure.
For Dan Brink. At Dan Brink 13.
So we'll see what kind of questions we get. It should be a good time.
What was the tweet? That's what I'm asking, man.
What do you mean, what was? That is the tweet.
Say the tweet.
Okay, I will say the tweet. Pre-recording an episode of Hashtag No Filter TWR right now. Giving advice on getting started in music / the industry. Tweet any questions you have. Cookie emoji.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Huh?
I'm glad I could get you there. I'm glad.
You got me there with that cookie, dog. That sounds gross.
No filter.
No filter. No cookies.
No cookies.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break, and you're choosing the song for the first break.
I am. And since we were talking about 21 Pilots, I wanted to play my favorite 21 Pilots song. So this is Lame Boy.
And we're back.
Lame Boy. Lame Boy. With the better pants,
I think that song is like a song to the industry.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh wow,
it's completely on topic.
What an appropriate choice! I totally thought of before.
That's why I thought you picked it, and then I was like,
nope.
I don't think you realize it. It's literally just like my creativity is only free when I'm playing shows.
Yeah, in the industry, then he's like, I feel like songs are only currency, and like, you know,
creativity is only free when I'm playing shows.
And I mean, you know, is he right?
100%. I think that's a lot of the ways it goes. Like, I think the industry, when you start to get bigger, they want to have complete control over that. But I think with somebody like Tyler, he's like, yeah, there's a reason why I'm writing all these songs. There's a reason why these a lot of these are number ones. There's a reason why we're on Saturday Night Live. And I think that will help them for their next record, that he'll be able to be a lot more, I mean, like, it's going to be like free reign. So they're going to be like, okay, we're not touching this. You know what you're doing. Like, we can't do anything.
What if he comes out with like the weirdest thing, like just because he knows he can't?
What about Heathens?
It's like beep.
I think Heathens is pretty weird. I think it's pretty dark too.
Heathens
considering
is
the lyrics.
Very dark. It's also very strange that it's on like mainstream radio. Not only that,
we should literally start a 21 Pilots podcast. Because all we do is cover 21 Pilots. Let's get off the subject of 21 Pilots.
Okay.
Love the click.
Click skeleton click. Always. Yeah. We tweeted out. We sent out a tweet for you guys to ask us questions about the industry, about getting started with music and stuff, because, you know, we've had experience.
Yeah.
We have a lot of
experience. We've gone through a bunch of different phases of it.
Yeah.
And separate projects and projects together and projects together, but that weren't the Weekend Riot. Yes. We've failed. We've succeeded.
Been reborn.
We've failed again.
Yes.
And again.
Mainly failed. Had a lot of success and failing.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's dive right in. This question comes from Sophie. She wants to know, what is the best way to network and make connections?
I think that's like the most important part of it all. Considering like if you genuinely have like a connection with somebody, if whether that's a band, whether that's a PR person, whether that's like a venue that books shows, like whatever side you are on it, I think the most important part is to have a genuine relationship. Because I think there's so many times where you could be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to hit this guy up and I need a favor. I need him to put me on a show. And the guy's going to be like, what? No. Like, I don't know you. Like, I don't know you. Whatever. And if you're trying to be like, well, I'll be friends with them just to get a show. Like, that's so not genuine. Like, yeah. I think it's more important to, like, everybody wants results immediately. And I think the hardest thing to do is to be patient. But, like, to really build the relationships, to reach, don't be afraid to reach out to people. Because I think if you just reach out to be like, hey, I'm just curious and whatever, I want to know. Don't ask for something. Try to give something. You know, and I think that's the most... There's this businessman, Gary Vaynerchuk, who I always talk to Johnny about.
Gary V, baby.
And he's amazing. And his whole thing is jab, 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 right hook. Like, give something, give something, give something until you need something. So you're like, hey, look, I've done all these things for you. Like, if there's a magazine you love and you're like, hey, do you need interns? Or if there's like a smaller venue in your area and you want your band to play, ask if you can run sound or ask if you can help out in any way with moving stage stuff. Do it for free and be like, hey, you know what, like, I'm doing all this stuff for you, is there any way I could like play a show? Maybe, like, you got to put yourself out there. Like, I think everybody feels like, and I mean, like, I feel like we've been guilty of it too, that I feel like as a band you kind of feel like entitled. You're like, well, I want that opportunity, I want to open up for that band.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're not putting in the work, then, you know, what makes you any different than anybody else?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're up against other people who have networked and have earned it. And as far as, like, the best way to network, I think, is just opening up any sort of line of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just introduce yourself in, like, an email and, like, a text, whatever kind of form of connection you have with this person. Like, you know, we'll even, you know, people tweeted us and like that's even a lane to open up conversation of just like, you know, a tweet turns into a DM, turns into an email,
turns into nudes.
That's
how Johnny and I met.
Exactly. It turns into like a real business thing, you know.
Yeah.
There's no kind of avenue too small to start at.
I would honestly say the best way to answer that, like with all that being said, is that don't wait for somebody to come to you. I don't think that's going to happen. There's so many people out there that are putting themselves out there. So I feel like you just have to.
Yeah.
And if like, you know, if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you have to start somewhere. So ask somebody for help. I think a lot of people will give help when asked, you know, like,
for sure.
I don't know what I'm doing with recording. Like, there's been people that reach out to me, like, I don't know what I'm doing with mics. Like, I've literally sent people like lists of like, here's like, if like, tell me your budget. Like, oh, I have a $400 recording budget. Okay. Like, or like for gear, then I'm like, oh, get this mic, get this preamp, whatever. Like, I've done that before, just because people, when people reach out, I want to help out like in any way. I mean, there's going to be jerks that you're going to reach out to and they're going to ignore you, but just move on to the next person. Don't take it to heart.
Yeah. Even like people reach out about, you know, guitar stuff, ukulele stuff, anything, just like, how do I get started playing? And it's like, you know, it's fun to get involved and like feel a connection with somebody. So don't ever be afraid of like somebody, you know, blowing you off completely. Cause 9 out of 10 times that won't happen.
Yeah.
You know, people want to help you. They want to feel connected, you know? So just put yourself out there, I think, is the end of the line. So this next question comes from Bree.
She says, my plan is to major in music management next year, possibly in Syracuse. Go breathe. Great school. Any advice on being successful in and after school? Music management.
I would say with music management, the best way to learn is to do. With like management, or I would say performing, anything really. Like if you're like, oh, I want to get into like performing and stuff, like, you know, with like Syracuse, that's great because they're going to teach you like so many skills of like the business side of things. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they're not going to make the connections you need.
Right.
You know, I mean, you might land an internship that you might never have done if you hadn't gone to Syracuse. But I think you have to like at Syracuse be like, all right, I have to take in like everything they teach me. And then on the side, when I'm like doing, I have to be networking. I have to be talking to bands that I love. I have to be going to shows and scouting out bands that I think I could help. There's going to be so many bands at Syracuse. Like yep. when you go to college, like so many bands that are being formed that there's going to be kids meeting. And if you can sit there and get in the middle and be like, hey, look, actually, I know this friend, he's a guitarist. And my buddy over here is a drummer. I just met the singer. Like if you can even help like put that band together and in some way, like help form that, or just be like, hey, I want to help you guys get shows. And like, yeah. I think the biggest thing in the beginning is like, don't look for money. Like it's like that just makes everything like weird. Just like really try to help. And I think if you can just learn from that and really just put yourself out there and just learn as much as you can, talk to teachers, because guaranteed a lot of these teachers come from the industry and they understand it, or they have connections in the industry, and just all comes back to networking.
Yeah, basically don't be afraid to talk to people and open up those conversations. And college is like a big hub of creativity and people doing all kinds of different things, and so many college bands now are doing big things that you can be a part of by just being there from the beginning, like you're saying, like yeah. either helping them out by like finding a guitarist for a show, helping them out in any way. Now they know you and they like you because you help them.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're like, hey, I'm thinking about getting into management, like maybe, you know, if you guys want to open up that conversation, that's something they'll be open to because they know you yeah. and, you know, you've been around them. And that's huge. Just, you know, being open and being open to anything.
I think being vulnerable in it too and being honest. If you go up to a band and you're like, hey, I've never managed before, can I manage you guys? Like, you guys are a new band, you know, I'm managing, or maybe yeah. if they're not, and you're like, you know what, I'm willing to put myself out there to promoters, to everybody, to push for you, that a band, like if somebody came to me in college and was like that honest and was like, but I will do everything I can. I think that's what sets most managers apart from others. When you see bands that are really getting things happening, there's usually a manager behind that is pushing so hard for that band yep. because they're not afraid to put themselves out there. And like you're saying, there's so many bands that are being formed now in college.
Yep.
Like even like, what's the big Philly band? Modern Baseball.
Yeah.
They were a college band.
Drexel
like
band.
There's so many like Boston bands like that you hear about, like all these schools like Philly, Boston, like the major cities, and you're like, man, these guys met in, like even House on Cliff. Yeah. They met at Berkeley. Like there's so many of those bands going on, and I think if you can be like basically what Olivia did, their manager, like get to meet them, get to kind of like put them together and then just drive them. I think that's the best advice I could give.
That we is could give. Huge. And actually, on the note of management, we have another question from Sophie. She says, as an amateur manager of at Emily Noel, how can I book gigs for her? And
shout out Emily underscore Noel
at Emmy underscore Noel.
Shout out Emmy.
And should we work with pay to play venues?
I think we literally talked about this with the stand up comedian we were in an Uber with.
Yeah,
it sucks. But I mean, I think it is a way to put yourself out there, because that's we even talking to Martha. So we, Johnny, myself, Martha bought us tickets to James Bay last year, literally mm-hmm. almost probably to the date
yeah.
a year ago
around
and
this time.
We saw James Bay. So shout out to Martha for that. And James was amazing. We saw him at the Fillmore at the Big Room, was amazing. She just saw him at Radio City and she said, it's crazy what a year can do, how he can have command over the crowd. And I'm bringing that up because you have to like really learn how to work a crowd in mm-hmm. any sort of sense. Like if you start getting thrown into opening for, like we have like from the start, like I would say like our first show, we had a decent crowd in New York City. And then like there was like a show in Philly. It was like a little smaller.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden we were thrown into opening up for MKTO at the TLA for yeah. this like huge thing. And that crowd like was just amazing. Like there was so much energy that like we would say one thing and the crowd would go nuts and we'd feed off that and back and forth. But it's not always like that. We've played shows, Johnny and I, in our old bands, to literally like our friends and girlfriends.
Our moms.
And moms. And I remember booking Johnny's band back in 2008, 2009.
So, yeah, somewhere
around. And Johnny, you were 14, 15?
Yeah, some of my first shows.
And literally, it was just Johnny's mom in the back of the room, me, in the back other promoter, the and like a few other people. Like, it was just spread out. You know what I mean? Like, and
you have to play those shows.
She was being like, I'm the mom, but I'm going to stay back and like, be cool. But you, like, it makes you not only one, appreciate the shows when you have like a big crowd, but it teaches you how to work a room in them, like, uncomfortable situations or if it's like a high energy. And I think that's what I'm glad we got beat up in that way.
Oh, yeah, man. That is really how you sharpen your stage skills, is playing to any size crowd. And as far as to answer your question, Sophie, working with pay-to-play venues, you know, you need to get yourself out there by any means. So yeah. If a venue's offering you a show and they're saying you need to sell 30 tickets, that's doable. And, you know, that forces you to go out, sell tickets, make sure there will be people there to see your artist, Emmy. And, you know, if the promoter likes you, if they like the show, you know, then they're more inclined to reach out to you again for maybe an opening slot where you don't have to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And pay to play is always going to be a thing. We were talking to the comedian about it because it's also a thing in stand up comedy.
Yeah. You like pay like $10, you get 10 minutes at an open mic. Like, it's kind
of
weird.
It is weird, but it's just a matter of getting your feet wet and getting out there and doing anything you can to get in front of a crowd.
I think with networking too, I mean, like, we've met some of our friends that open shows for us, like doing a like, you know, like they had to like sell a certain amount of tickets to open for a show, and getting to meet them and then being like, wow, these guys, like this band, or like even like somebody like Chucky Hugh or something, being like, wow, he brings people out, like this is really cool. And then it gets to the point where you're like reaching out to the promoter like, hey, we want to get him back on the show.
Yeah, or, exactly.
We love playing with this artist, or, you know, it's like a very similar thing that I think it's a good way to just get yourself out there. And the biggest thing I think in the beginning is just getting your name out there and just like getting to the point where people are like, I've heard of them. Like, we're getting to that point in like a bigger sense where people are like, I've heard of the Weekend Riot. Like, do you guys have that song about the airplane or something? It's like,
saw you at LA Fitness. Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, you know, you need to be that name that's everywhere. You know, coming up, it would always be like, Bruce was in this band, North Farewell. And I would see the name everywhere, or the Cool Kids Table even. I'd be like, you know, it'd be like, okay, there's this big show in Philly. It'd be like, oh, opening the Cool Kids Table. I'm like, how do I know that band? Because I've seen it everywhere, because you guys would play all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's how you get yourself out there, is just playing as much as you can around your local area, gaining fans. It's huge.
I would say any band like has been there and done that. Yeah. Like most bands. I mean, it does suck. It's like, it is a pain. And I think if you can work it out to do the right show, if it's a show you really want to be on, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to like have to pay for the tickets yourself. I don't like that idea.
No.
But if you're like honest with the promoter, like, I can sell, like, be straight up, like, I can sell 15 tickets, definitely. Like, I can get 15 of my friends and family out to see the show. It's a reason for them to come see me and to test it out and see what they think and open for a band that I really love, you know, or something like that. I think that's really important. Even my old band, Victory Numbers, like, we went on to get signed, do Warped Tour, the whole thing. We still did it. You know what I mean? Like, from the time we started like playing, and then eventually got to the point where, before I was in the band, they were called Blue Collar. They did that a bunch. Then they started drawing out, you know, 100 kids to their shows, 200 kids, 300 kids. Then it was like, okay, now you don't even have to sell, but open for this. And the first big show I ever played, we had to sell, it was 100 tickets to open for the White Tie Affair. And that was like a big deal. It was like White Tie Affair, Every Avenue, Stereo Skyline.
Oh,
and
stacked.
But that was something that we were like, this is worth it. And we've got a bunch of fans out of it. Because it's like, all right, well, we're selling 100 tickets, which is a lot. But at the same time, there's going to be 500 more kids here. So it's just like, it was worth it.
Yeah. Should we do one more question?
Let's do one more.
Okay, this one comes from Luke Bodine. What's up, Luke? He says, on a different note, what are your best songwriting tips? Because Luke wants to get into songwriting.
Yeah. I think that's another thing of just like putting yourself out there. I think even at a point where, even like a year ago, I would say songwriters, like, we've changed so much because like the moment you start working with other writers, I would say that's my best piece of advice. Like, don't be afraid to reach out to other people, other friends. And like, you'll know when something clicks, when you both like really like, or three or four of you are in a room. And that would be my best advice. Just like, put yourself out there with different people.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to experiment.
Listen to all kinds of music, see what you like, and try and incorporate it into what you do. You know, like electronic drums. I started writing just on like an acoustic guitar, and there's, you know, it's a great place to start. But once you write a lot of songs on acoustic guitar, you want to do something different.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be afraid to branch out. And like Bruce is saying, find like any friend who also writes songs, any friend who like maybe plays bass or something, and just like be like, hey, you want to like write a song together?
Yeah.
And it'll be an awesome experience no matter what.
Yeah. And I think, and just the other songwriting tips, I would say, the thing that I learned the most is like the easiest songs to write are the ones that are, it doesn't even have to necessarily be like, if you're like, well, I want to, like, I like feel sad right now, but it's like, I don't know why. Like, maybe that's a song. You know what I mean? Like, if there's like, oh, like, why am I feeling sad? And I think if you sit there and like, especially if there's a story or you have something, you know, where you just, you know exactly what you want it to be, and you're like, I'm just literally like, the one thing that there's a song we had, we wrote with this guy Andrew Herringer, and it was a song called Not Together that I'm not sure what we're gonna do with, we still have to rework it, whatever, but he literally was like, you know, I'm having troubles, you know, blah blah blah, like all this stuff, and sorry for putting Andrew on blast, maybe I'm putting his relationship out there, but
don't tell anyone.
He was like, yeah, like I'm with my girl, but like we're not living together now, it's like we're together but we're like not together. And I was sitting at the piano and I just started going, what, not together, but we're not together, not together. And then he started to be like, you know,
not seeing like, other people, but
I'm not seeing other people, but we're not seeing each other. So I'm like, I'm not seeing other people. And then just like singing out everything he was saying, and then being like, you know, and then the idea of being like, what are we doing playing this game? Yeah. Like just being like, literally just telling a story of like, sometimes we'll sit there and be like, this is exactly what's happening right now. And then there's our verse. Okay, like the chorus is just like, I'm so confused. I don't understand. Like, I'm so confused. Yeah. Like, literally, like, I think sometimes, like, you read Sam Smith lyrics and they are, like, very straightforward.
Very simple.
This is what it is. Very simple. But the emotion is, like, what's there. And I think that best songwriting is just, like, something that people can connect with and making it very this, just something that they can feel. Like, they feel that emotion.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, great questions. Thank you for those.
Yeah.
Woo!
So after this, we're going to do Wonky Files.
It's volume 2 of Wonky Files. I got some wonk.
I'm very nervous.
I got some wonk for
you. We'll
be
back after the break. This is Valencia, which is a band that I got to open for when I was back in high school, and they inspired me a lot. And they're coming back, and they're doing a couple shows. Dude, I love that Valencia song. It's just like, that was like, they put out that record when I was in high school. I think it was like 2003 or 2004 or something. Ooh. 2005. I don't remember. But they went on to get signed to Columbia. And they were like a local band that I got to open for, so I was like really inspired. And there's a guy, Trevor, that sings on the song too, that I became friends with, and it was just really cool to see like hometown heroes.
I remember,
very inspired.
You took me to a bar to see Trevor, and he was what bar was it? It was just like some little place, and he was doing like a couple hours.
Yeah, it was in Newtown Clubhouse. He's an amazing singer.
He is.
He's in a band called The End of America, and he's also playing with Punchline. He travels all around. He plays all around. Amazing dude. Shout out Trevor Lennon.
That's awesome. All right. Boom. We got a treat for you right here. We have volume 2 of the Wonky Files.
I'm scared.
Bruce, can you hit me with the Wonky File theme song, please?
Yeah. Let me just hit click.
It's a wonky file. It's a wonky file. Why is it so wonky? I don't know. Get out of my room, Dad.
Thank you. Recorded that live in my dad's room.
I paid Justin Bieber to write that song.
Okay, so the Wonky Files, for those of you who may not know, is I went and I found the weirdest, strangest news stories I could from the last week. So
yes, you
go.
Did, Johnny.
Yes, I did.
I just wanted people to know it was you talking and not me.
Okay, yeah.
If you didn't know, my name is Bruce.
My name is Johnny.
We're the Weekend Riot, and this is No Filter. The Wonky Files on No Filter.
On No Filter. We have different
songs. We're a pop duo.
Yes, we're a band.
From Philly. But this is the Wonky Files. We're all over the place.
But get ready.
But this is live, but not live.
We also have free pickles and yogurt. Anyway. All right.
Keep going.
Shout out. Anyway. Okay. Story number 5. A 12-year-old boy.
Story number 5. Story we're number starting five. At 5.
It's a countdown.
Okay, countdown number 4.
Number 5. A 12-year-old boy in Spain was billed $110,000 from Google because he thought he was signing up for AdSense. Like, you know, on YouTube, like Google, they make you money. But he accidentally signed up for AdWords, which is you pay money, and he was trying to promote his band. So there were all these massive ads on Google popping up of like his band, just like this 12-year-old kid's band, and it ended up being $110,000 of, you know, ad work that they did.
Oh my god.
So like his mother gave this huge statement about like, you know, Google can't do this to my son and all this stuff. But meanwhile the kid's blowing up. So
oh really?
Yeah, he's blowing up right now.
Who is he?
The name of his band is very in Spanish and I didn't even want to attempt to say it.
But he's blown up.
He's blown up.
We know about him, I guess.
It's Macklemore.
You know him as Santana.
Okay, so, boom, that's
also,
number five.
When you said build, I thought you said built. Like, he was a little robot child.
That would be dope. No, he was build.
This little Spanish boy was built in 2016.
All right, number four.
Four.
Okay, a domino...
Four scores, 7 years ago. Sorry, I had the wrong soundboard.
Yeah.
For me? Sorry, it's still going.
Anyway. Sorry. Do we have the Napoleon Dynamite soundboard?
Four?
Sorry. Nice.
Dude, you fat lord, that's horrible.
Really bad. All right, number four.
You just throw a big skin at quarter mile. Sorry. It was Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. Yeah, I was trying to think of his name.
Uncle Forco.
Okay. A
Uncle Foreskin.
Okay, it's the Wonky Files. You're getting in the way.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, number four. Here we go. Boom. A Domino's customer in Australia is suing Domino's because he never got his pizza delivered. And guess what? He won. Domino's is now paying him $910 because they did not deliver his $30 order in April 2015.
Is there a reason why?
Why they didn't deliver it?
No, like why he won? And why $910?
Because it's like...
emotional fees?
Okay, here's the story. So back in April 2015, this dude ordered $30 of food from Domino's.
$30. I'm trying to do the math here.
Okay.
$30.
$30. This
plus
dude...
plus tip, 35.
Yeah, 35, maybe 40 if he's feeling generous. Yeah. And like,
if it's early, it's if it shows day. Up, maybe.
Maybe. And then the man, guess what? He happens to be a lawyer. And so he called the manager and he promised him a refund. And after not receiving it for what almost over a year now, he began his proceedings and he took him to trial. And because he
represented himself,
he represented himself.
Zero court fees for himself.
Exactly. The court automatically granted him winnings because it's breach of contract. Domino's, you know, guarantees delivery, guarantees a refund from the management.
Where is he from? Australia?
Australia.
Oh, we need that guy as our lawyer.
I know. Amazing. So, shout out, guys, if you never get your pizza delivered, there's a
solution.
Wait
a year and get $900.
Wait 1 year. Sue Domino's.
Ask for a refund first.
Yeah. Don't just blindly sue Domino's. Boom. Number three.
Three? I don't even know me. Sorry, that was a weird soundboard. I'm on the wrong one.
Is that from Baby Geniuses or something?
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
No, sort
of. I have a lot of weird movie references. Anyway, a 28-year-old man in Birmingham, Alabama, released a public statement deeply regretting his Bernie Sanders tattoo. Because the tattoo is on his beepus.
On his penis.
On his penis.
You can't say penis. Say penis with a straight face.
Penis.
Just say penis.
I don't want to say it.
Penis.
Penis. Why are you making me say it?
Why are you rolling your eyes when you say it? Like it's a sarcastic penis.
Okay, no filter. Anyway, so after getting this tattoo,
penis.
Because he loves Bernie Sanders' penis, this guy...
He loves Bernie Sanders' penis. Oh, that's horrible.
I was trying to find a picture of the tattoo. That's what's messed up. But because I want to know.
Did you Google search Bernie Sanders' penis?
Penis tattoo.
Did you just, Johnny, be honest, and did it say, did you mean penis tattoo?
Yeah, you're right. I just searched Bernie Sanders' penis. I'm sorry.
Let's
I didn't
honest,
want to see it.
Were you impressed?
I wasn't.
It wasn't a bad dick.
Oh, my God. Sorry. No filter. But apparently this dude went to three different tattoo artists before he found a guy that would do it. And they interviewed the tattoo artist.
They're all Trump supporters?
Probably. And
like, yeah, dog, I'm not doing it. You're in Alabama. You're not getting Bernie on your paintbrush.
Exactly. And
your paintbrush.
Eventually, they found the dude who tattooed him. Who tattooed him?
I thought he died.
No,
he
didn't
found him. Penis out.
You're really weird.
In a ravine.
It'd be so weird. They found the tattoo artist, and after declining to be, like, they wouldn't let him use his name. Or, like, he didn't want them to use his name.
The tattoo artist?
The tattoo artist.
Yeah.
And his statement was plainly in quotes. It's one sentence. It just says, "I thought it was a dumb place for the tattoo."
Like, that's it.
Yeah, that was it. But like,
but
he still
I picture that sentence being like, "I thought it was a dumb place for the tattoo."
Yeah, that's probably way more accurate.
Yeah,
it was. But I don't, why your penis? Like, why? And I want to know, is it just Bernie Sanders, like his body? Like,
well, here's the other thing.
Is Bernie Sanders?
If we're being honest here, if we know anything about penises,
yeah,
they grow.
Yes, they do.
And they shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And they shrivel.
Guys.
So, I don't understand this. I've heard of people getting penis tattoos. You got to be erect, right?
I know. I can't believe we're talking about this.
Like, you got to be erect to get a tattoo like that.
Yes, you do, because...
But that's got to hurt and shrivel up unless you, like, love pain or something.
I know, you can't...
And then what?
You can't do it when it's small.
But yeah. I just picture, like, they did it when it was all shriveled up, and then it stretched out to be this, like, clown-faced Bernie Sanders, weird. Like...
But, I don't know, shout out to that guy. He's only 28.
Shout out to that guy's papayimbus.
Shout out to his penis. He's only 28. You know, you have a long life.
He's 28?
He's 28. He has
what
a Bernie
an idiot.
Sanders penis tattoo.
Thought he was, like, six. Thought he was a man.
All right, number two.
Six-year-old man.
What? Number two.
Is number two.
Safety. Sorry, you're disgusting. Anyway, man.
Yeah.
There's a man. He's in Massachusetts. I mean, I have the headline. I just started reading it.
Yeah.
But, okay, there's a man in Massachusetts. He just grew the world record for the biggest pumpkin.
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 Pumpkin. Guess how big this pumpkin is. I'm going to cover it up.
I can't see anyway. I'm blind.
How many pounds?
Oh, how many pounds?
Yeah.
I don't know how much. What is a regular pumpkin? 6 pounds?
A big pumpkin, I'd say, is 15 pounds.
15?
Maybe 30.
This one's a 226.
226. 226 pounds.
Pounds. How many tons is this thing?
This thing is 2,075 pounds. So
2,000?
2,000 pounds.
Is that 2 tons?
That's 1 ton.
Ah. I don't know how tons work.
Tons is... 1 ton is a 2,000
tons
pound.
Of fun.
Yeah, it's
we're having tons of fun here.
Yeah.
2,000 pounds.
2,000 pounds.
Forklift?
Forklift, yeah, they had to forklift it to a competition.
How the hell does that thing grow that? What do you do? Like, you put hormones in it? Is this thing, like, radioactive?
He said it was, like, all crossbreeding, so basically he spends...
You crossbreed.
He crossbreeds. So it's, like, he spent all of winter, he, like, scouted the best pumpkin seeds from, like, pumpkin growers. He brought them all together. He's been growing massive pumpkins for 26 years. This is, like, his craft. So this pumpkin was 5 feet tall and 6 feet wide.
5 feet tall.
Yeah.
6 feet wide. This thing is way bigger than me.
Yeah, 2,000 pounds. Think of how dense that is, too. Like, that's massive.
And it didn't break or anything?
No, it didn't break. They put it down. He won six.
They put it down. Oh, my God, the poor pumpkin. they had to put the pumpkin down.
Sorry, pumpkin. Yeah, he took it to a pumpkin competition. It won $6,500.
What?
I know.
Why? What? Do you win per pound or something? Like, it's 30 cents per pound.
It's just it's $3 per pound.
Wait. Okay. Yeah, I did the math wrong.
No,
okay, I'm confused. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Why am I confused? A lot. Okay. What? I don't understand. I wish we need like a pumpkin expert here.
Yeah.
I like saying pumpkin. Sorry.
Pumpkin. It's more
we need
fun.
A pumpkin expert to like let us know like you crossbreed. So you're playing God with pumpkins?
Yeah.
I don't support that.
Dude, people crossbreed plants all the time.
I want to, in the next, like, debate, be like, how do you guys feel about pumpkin crossbreeding?
I'm
like,
isn't for it.
It. That's, like, inbred pumpkin seeds?
Dude, plants are inbred all the time. Broccoli is an inbred plant.
I don't need it.
Like, kale and cauliflower or something.
I don't eat any of what you just said.
Okay. Well,
it's crossbred. I don't drink water because it cross-contaminates with other pipes.
You're right. There's too many
other pipes.
Pipes.
I don't believe in Brita filters.
You don't?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you use one like every day. Yeah. I watch you.
Do you watch me?
Don't lie to the people.
But I might do that. I might use a Brita filter or two, but I'm not cross-contaminating my pumpkin seeds.
No, you're not. You're not growing a 2,000-pound pumpkin either.
I'm also not winning $6,000. So
exactly.
Who's wrong here?
Exactly.
Who's wrong here? I want to be a whole different radio show. Who's... Wait, maybe I'm the pumpkin guy.
What are you talking about?
So tell me this. Riddle me this, Batman. How are you going to tell me not one little rodent, not one little squirrel gets in that? and eats up this pumpkin. 2,000 pounds, not one squirrel. I put one pumpkin out.
I'm not saying it's a matter of squirrels. I put one pumpkin out in the patch. It's a big patch.
I put one pumpkin in the patch.
It's a big patch. He's got a fence.
Squirrels, eat it up. You put this thing, what do you put, pesticides on it?
He might be putting pesticides on it. I don't know.
At what point do you tell me Lance Armstrong and his one nut gets kicked out of the Olympics for doing a little bit of druggies where he's a champ. Let's talk about it. He's a champ.
Shout out.
So why are you going to kick him out when he's already kicked down with cancer and all this stuff? They kick him out. But this pumpkin has got pesticides in him. He's got stuff coming inside of him, and he's winning $6,000.
Because
I want to know why this pumpkin is allowed for this.
This thing is not willingly taking drugs.
I apologize about the one that
I'm still bothered about it. I can't really think straight right now because we're gonna have a huge backlash from Lance Armstrong supporters. Just let it be known.
Live strong.
Live
pumpkin down. I'm taking this pumpkin out. I'm going to carve him up.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to be the biggest jack-o'-lantern.
Dude, think about that jack-o'-lantern. 2,000-pound jack-o'-lantern.
You know what I would do?
What?
$6,000. You won. Okay?
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo. Do you really make pumpkin pies from pumpkin?
Are you asking me a completely different question?
Yes.
Yes.
Then why don't they make this pumpkin pie for the homeless?
Balls in
if
your
they
court.
Don't and they let squirrels eat this up like little dumb things that they are. Squirrels can get nuts, they can get berries, they can go into the garden and eat whatever. I say we get a petition going that they get 6,000 of this pound, 2,000 pounds, and they donate it. Come on.
All right, balls in your court, Massachusetts man. What you gonna do?
Yeah.
You gonna donate that bad boy?
We're running out of time, so we got one more.
One more. Okay, as you all know, Hurricane Matthew. Oh, sorry, this is number one.
One.
That was Gandalf.
Very underwhelming.
Yes. Okay.
It's number one, Mr. Potter.
I got my Snape down.
That's a good Snape.
Thank you.
I'm snow pointing in the classroom.
That's so bad.
That was Johnny doing the bad one. That was Johnny doing the bad one.
As you know, Hurricane Matthew has been, you know, it's a big deal. It's, you know,
it's very sad.
Pummeling south. Sorry for using the word pummeling. Anyway.
I want to use pummel for like our next YouTube video. Pummel that subscribe button.
Sorry. So there was one brilliant Florida man who managed to save his car from the massive amount of winds, all the devastation. Water. Guess how he did it.
What?
He parked his BMW M3 inside of his house.
In his house?
I saw a picture of it. It's really weird. And you're like, it's in his kitchen.
How'd he get it in?
He has double doors that like,
because he has a BMW.
He
has double doors.
Exactly. It's like pretty small. He somehow finagled it, squeezed it through the doors into his house, and the picture is just him eating breakfast next to his car.
That's great content.
That is amazing.
That's turning a funny situation into a better situation.
Exactly.
Or a bad situation into a funny situation.
Yeah, there you go.
That was the one.
Bada bing, those are the Wonky Files.
Thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome, Johnny. You're welcome at Sir Johnny Costa on Twitter.
You're welcome. Wait, thank you, and you're welcome at Bruce Wigner on Twitter and Instagram.
And Instagram as well.
Yes.
Yeah. At The Weekend Riot on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Add us up.
At The Weekend Riot on Twitter, Instagram, everything.
Everything.
YouTube, every Monday, except for this past Monday. We're going to be doing it. It's probably up by now.
We promise.
So that being said, that's been No Filter for this week. Make sure to catch us on tour, Facebook.com/The Weekend Riot.
Boom. Make sure to follow us on those socials. Tune in next week for more No Filter. We love you guys, and we'll see you later.
My name is Bruce.
My name is Johnny.
And this has been No Filter.